Actually, I'm going to, as a part of what I'm talking about today, I'm going to talk about the research we've done in the United Arab Emirates. But I'm kind of going to broaden it out and give you some ideas from around the world. And one of the first things I'd like to show you, they said we had to put that thing in there. So that's my disclosure statement. So no disclosures. Nobody's making any money off this presentation. In many rapidly developing countries, the first cause of death is traffic or traffic-related fatalities. The second falls, and the third are poisonings. And many of those poisonings are still in rapidly developing countries. They're related to food. In the United States, to give you a little perspective, right now, traffic-related injuries and poisonings just came up to match traffic-related injuries last month. And in the United States, those poisonings are not from food. They're not necessarily from illegal drugs. They're from prescription drugs or over-the-counter drugs in some way used inappropriately by the person they were prescribed for or by somebody else. And then falls are third. So that makes us a little different than in rapidly developing countries. And most of my presentation is going to talk about traffic-related fatalities, but I'll also talk a little bit about falls to give you an idea. And rapidly developing countries, whether it's a lot of immigrants or a lot of poor people within that country, may be experiencing the same sort of fatalities from unintentional injuries, but people who are immigrants have less recourse to change the system or put in new programs. But I'm going to give you a little background. And road traffic injuries are considered a worldwide disaster. 1.2 million have died and 5 million are injured yearly, and the World Health Organization has said. And it's the third leading cause of the global burden of disease and injury by the year 2020. In some cases, if you're totally disabled or disabled significantly, you'll be able to contribute and care for your family. It's not much different than if you were dead. And so, like I said, I'm going to talk about traffic-related deaths, and then I'm going to talk about a little bit about falls. Road traffic deaths, we've already talked about being the global a global health issue. What do we know about it? What are we going to do about it? We consider it goes right along with improving your economic status. You have more cars, you have more people in urban areas; they're all concentrated. But the burden of deaths and injuries are not equally distributed through income levels. It makes a big difference which group you're related to. And then, if you're going to look at prevention strategies, you have to look at the specific group that's affected: pedestrians, or bicycles, or motorcyclists, or people in cars. In 1998, low-income and middle-income countries accounted for more than 85% of all the deaths from road injuries globally, and 90% of the disabilities, and that hasn't changed much. High-income countries had a 28% reduction. At the same time, China, which was really rapidly developing, had a 92% increase, and India, a 146% increase. So you can see in the world, people are not dying due to traffic-related injuries equally. And the people who are dying the most are considered to be the most productive part of society when you look at workforce. And in that working age group, they represent 51% of deaths and 59% of disabilities. And this data is still a little bit old, but I'm going to get to some of the new data because I thought it gave a good representation. Look at Asia. In red, it's going up. Middle East, going up. Africa, going up. And really, in Latin America, the only countries going down are high-income countries down there at the bottom. Oops. And now I'm going to give you a little bit of data that has been analyzed for the United Arab Emirates. For anybody who doesn't know, that's where the United Arab Emirates are. They're right over there, kind of on the crack of Saudi Arabia. If you've heard about Iran wanting to close off the Strait of Hormuz to try to keep oil from going in and out, the UAE is the country on the other side of that little point. Fujairah is right up there, and the Iranians are on the other side of it. Historically, till about 1970, a lot of people would leave the UAE. They might be merchants, they might go to Saudi Arabia and work, they might be hauling dates on camels or diving for pearls off the Indian coast. But when the Japanese figured out how to make fake pearls by sticking sand in oysters, kind of wiped out the pearl diving operation. And now you don't have to haul dates by camel. I've talked to people who are 100 years old who haul dates by camel. I know how long it is from Abu Dhabi to Fujairah, and that was like 2.5 to 3 hours by car. Can you imagine how long it took by camel? But what we really looked at, it's a rapidly urbanizing country. That little bitty country has about 4 million people in it in 2005. Only 21% were citizens of the United Arab Emirates, and non-citizens represented 79% of the people living and working there in 2005, and that's due to the oil production to a large degree, but also to the fact that citizens are now much more affluent, so they hire people to do all these things. You know, they don't do as much work outside themselves because now they can hire other people to do it. Unintentional injury deaths. Road accidents were considered to be 70% of the total accidental deaths in that country, and of those who died, 88% were males. And they're different emirates. They're like states, and within the emirates that are directly managed by the central government, there are others that are richer, actually. You can see the most populated ones. Dubai and Sharjah have the most deaths that are unintentional injury deaths. And if you look at this chart, it breaks down what we found for all six of those emirates in terms of the types of death. Accidents and adverse effects is where they stick things they have no clue. Motor vehicles, 1,880. Accidental poisoning, 720. Accidental falls, 347. And other types of causes, they really don't know what they're doing. But what we were looking at was, if you looked at males, 20 to 65, and you compared non-citizens to citizens by rate, meaning you've gotten rid of the effect that you've got 80% more non-citizens, what are the significant causes of death so you can target some of those areas? And this just gives you a little bit more information in that male citizens were responsible for 24% or 2,600 by number frequency of the unintentional deaths, and male non-citizens, 7,800. So you can see that of that number of total unintentional deaths, non-citizens represent a huge number. And in women who were citizens and non-citizens, not very different, 48% and 51%. And one of the things when we analyzed this data, because they had never really looked at it much, was we found that there was a significant difference between citizens and non-citizens by rate. Of course, by number, immigrants, non-citizen workers, have a huge number of traffic accidents. But when you looked at it by rate, actually the citizens' first cause of death was motor vehicles, and for immigrant workers, it was actually falls when you got down to a rate. Like how many per thousand, and motor vehicle deaths were second. This is important if you want to target a certain subgroup within your emirate, and so we did all this by emirate so they could try to figure out what to do. Now, I'm going to use some examples from other countries because they absolutely describe what's going on here and in many other countries, and one of those happens to be China. Motor vehicle production has tripled. The number of cars in the UAE has tripled. People drive like banshees in big SUVs. They're either in on superhighways or in the sand. There's no in-between. Their culture, very little seatbelt use. Kids ride in the front seat on their parents' lap. And if you're in an SUV and you have a wreck at 80 or 90, the child just bangs all over the vehicle as well. So it's and they have lights like traffic street lights that go between major cities like Dubai and Abu Dhabi, so all night long people drive at 80 to 90 miles an hour with trucks having flashing lights like that's going to keep you from having a wreck. So one of the things we found when we looked at some of the things in China, however, was that 79% out of 100,000 deaths, rural traffic deaths in China were much higher per 100,000 people who got killed, two times more than urban deaths. And having been to Beijing And a couple, Wuhan, I'm surprised because that scared me. You know, it's who could blow the horn the hardest? You got eight vehicles wanting three lanes. And I've seen SUVs fake out buses on those. So that's one of the things. When you look at rural areas, you've got more bicyclists, more pedestrians, and poorer roads. And male deaths were twice female deaths. That's very typical, just like in the UAE. And nobody really knows a lot of the causes. For example, in the UAE, they were under British control, and they're really into roundabouts. So they have roundabouts that have six lanes of traffic going like this. Because they use roundabouts instead of, like, corners, there's no place to cross. There are not stoplights where you can cross the road if you're a pedestrian. There are almost no sidewalks. And many, many of those immigrants in Dubai and Sharjah live in almost like dormitories, and they don't have their own vehicles, and they just have to, well, you have to walk on the crack of the road. And people are really driving fast. Well, the same thing's happening in China. Poor quality roads, less police supervision, an increase in vulnerable road users, insufficient emergency medical services, and a higher rate of driving under the influence of alcohol. In the UAE, you wouldn't have much influence of alcohol by people who are Muslim, but you do have from some other immigrant types, immigrant workers, like people from Europe and the United States. Okay. Some of the interventions that have been recommended for this area is to try to enforce speed limits, which in neither of these countries or even Turkey has done, and encourage seatbelt use. Some of the impact of immigrant workers, because they walk and bicycle, are the predominant areas that in urbanizing areas have completely been ignored. Like in the UAE, where you've got 80% of the workers who are immigrants. In China, 60% of the traffic-related deaths are pedestrians and cyclists. So you see whether you have a lot of poor in-country workers or immigrant workers, they're having a lot of the same death causes. And 20% of the traffic-related deaths in China are motorcycles, and that's somewhat comparable in the UAE. Current roads are designed by Western standards, but they don't have much accommodation for bicyclists or pedestrians as they're being designed or built. There's not a lot of money in that, and people are going for the big money. But some of the things that we have seen in current literature and from our experience on the ground that need to happen are to encourage cooperation between the police force, emergency departments, and public health agencies because there's somewhat of a cavalier attitudes towards police in some of these countries, and some people would think, well, you can just bribe one and get out of it if you happen to get caught. There's very little driver's training at all, and in our country, driver's training is being almost totally dissolved because schools don't want to have to pay for the cars to have and the liability for students to learn to drive. So in many states, as much as 10 years ago, which is the last time I looked at it, New Jersey didn't have any driver's education. Tennessee still did, but now many places you have to pay. You just have a little book part. So that means rich people can pay, but poor people can't. Improved data collection. A lot of places, we don't really know what's going on because people don't record much information about a wreck. They may just say you died in a transportation wreck. You don't know if it's a pedestrian. You don't know if it's the driver. You don't know, were they watching a cell phone? What were they doing? And believe me, cell phones are everywhere. In places like the UAE, more than even here. Improved data collection, so we know. Reducing speed, we talked about. Lighting in inner cities. And segregating motor and non-motorized vehicles, we already talked about. But increased awareness, which public health agencies can certainly do. Helmet use for bicyclists. Seatbelt use. Child car seats. Driver's education, we talked about all those. And a perception of how when you speed, you're more likely to die. Because those are not necessarily linked a lot of places. So if you look, that's sort of concrete things, but as a community level, intersectorial collaboration between public health and government and other groups and education organizations, improved monitoring, building capacity, and mobilizing the political will to actually create a perception that it's a bad thing to have your child in the front seat. They should be in the back seat. And that hadn't happened in many developing countries yet. So those are just some of the ideas that, you know, give you kind of an overview of what's going on. And that's not really limited to the countries I looked at. It's pretty common in most rapidly developing countries.